really appreciate this week because the title itself already convey the four key points of this message. So first of all, it's a believer's experience. It's talk about the grace concerning the personal aspect for every believers. And then the other three points is concerning the corporate aspects. So the grace the Lord has given to us is not only for ourselves to enjoy. It's very important for ourselves to enjoy in our personal way, but we don't stop there. There's a goal for God giving grace to us. It's for His church. He has eternal goal. It's His body of Christ. So there's three points concerning corporate aspects concerning the body of Christ. So we will see that in a short amount after a short week. So the first Roman numeral, it says that the New Testament believers living under the grace in God's economy is a total living of experiencing the process and consummated trying God as grace. So what is a total living? So in the point B under Roman numeral 1, you can see that a total living means that our entire living is a living of the trying God process to be grace to us. Yeah. So the total living is not kind of like our thing that how should we behave or how should we do this kind of thing. No, it's an inwardly 7 days, 24 hours, taking Him as our life. Yeah. So the process trying God today is already mingled with our spirit, and meaning that He's living inside of us, in our spirit. Yeah. So how to receive this grace, how to live this kind of living, is always exercise our spirit, always turn to our spirit, turn to the Lord who lives in us. So in Hebrews 4:16, there's a thorn there, right? The thorn is not only authority. The thorn turns to the throne of grace. So we need to come forward with boldness to the throne of grace. And the thorn is inside of us. So I really appreciate that the Lord is inside of us. And it's very easy for us to turn to Him. We just call upon His name, oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And we can turn to His Spirit. We can turn to His grace. And we can receive the grace. Amen. So this is a key burden for the first Roman numeral. And then we come to the second Roman numeral. It says that genuine church is based upon the grace given to it in Christ Jesus. So in day two, what about we can read day two, the verses on day two together. 1 Corinthians 1:2-4. To the church of God which is in Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, the called saints, with all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you, based upon the grace of God, which was given to you in Christ Jesus. So there's 5 qualifications for us to receive the grace. First one is to the church of God.
Amen.
Are we church of God?
Yes.
Yes, we are church of God. God, and the second is, which is in Corinth. Well, we are not in Corinth, but here means that the local church. We are the local church here in Piscataway, the Middlesex County, right? So we are the local church here. So the second qualification we also met. And the third one is sanctified in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Are we sanctified in Christ Jesus? Yes, we already sanctified by His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We already make holy through Christ Jesus. And the fourth one is the called saints. We definitely were called by the Lord out of the evil world. So right now we are in His church. So we already fulfilled the first 4 qualification. And the last one, I think, is very important for our personal experiences, who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place.
Amen.
So we need to call upon His name.
Amen.
to be qualified to receive this grace.
Amen.
So so we can see the point E under Roman numeral 2. It since that we have received grace as our base, we are standing upon grace, not upon our attributes, virtues, and excellencies, but upon what? Upon those five qualifications. And actually, those five qualifications, most of the points already done by the Lord. So we are not receiving the grace based on our merit, based on our good behavior. No, it's because upon this, right? Therefore, we are qualified to receive more grace, even grace upon grace.
Amen.
Amen. So that's point Roman numeral 2. And Roman numeral 3, the consummation of the believer's experience of the grace of God in his economy is a church as an organic body of Christ. So the Lord has a goal. He has a goal, and is it the body of the Christ, the corporate church. So the point I really appreciate under Roman numeral 3 is point 3 under D. He says that in Romans 12:6, the gifts differ according to grace. In Ephesians 4:7, grace was given according to the gift. So we are body of Christ. We are every member, every individual member in the body of Christ. We have different function. That's why we have different gifts. But no matter what gift you have, probably you are good at speaking, you get good at singing, good at piano. But every gift has a source. This source is from the grace. So in point 8, number 3, it says that grace is the divine life that produces and supplies the gifts. In Romans 12, it is the grace that produces the gift, thus the gift is according to grace. And also in C, it says that in Ephesians 4, the grace is according to the gift, and according to the measure of the gift. So this is a picture that I received throughout the message. So there's a source, which is grace. The grace produces a gift. But when you turn back to the grace, open to the grace, actually the measure of the gift will increase.
Amen.
So that you can receive more grace.
Amen.
This is what? This is grace upon grace.
Amen.
So no matter what gift we have, we still turn back to the grace, the source, so that we can enjoy and receive more and more grace.
Amen.
Amen. So point E, it says that in the church, as organic body of Christ, we should let no corrupt word proceed out of our mouths, but only that which is good for building up according to the need, that you may give grace to those who hear. So no matter what gift we have, it is for the benefit for the body of Christ.
Amen.
So for the purpose to benefit the body, we need to always turn back to the grace, to the source, so that our measure of the gift can be increased, and all the saints, all the members of the body of Christ can be benefited.
Amen.
And the last point, Roman numeral 4, in Ephesians 3:2, the Apostle Paul says that stewardship of grace was given to him for the members of the body. So what is the stewardship here? Stewardship is dispensing Christ to others. It's a stewardship according to God's economy. So point 4 here says that economy of God is with God himself, but the stewardship of grace is given not merely to Paul as one person. This stewardship has been given to all the believers.
Amen.
So right now, in our personal aspect, we all enjoy Christ. We all have some enjoyment. We have some grace. Have some Christ. But the Lord, He commands us to dispense this Christ to others. That's our stewardship. So actually, the stewardship is not just for like for the elders or for leading brothers. No, it's for all the saints. Everyone, we have this mission to dispense our Christ to others. Actually, I really, really enjoyed the meeting this morning. I really enjoy all your spirit. I really enjoy all the grace, all the Christ from you guys. So I remember last week, Friday, small group meeting, their sister, he shared a point that can we find grace from others? Yes, we do. Actually, we always find grace from others because everyone is exercising their stewardship in the church. So that's how the body of Christ can be built up, is by we all dispensing what we enjoy every day to others. So I will conclude this way. So grace refers to the riches of Christ, and we enjoy these riches. subjective way, and this is great. But God's economy can be fulfilled by all of us exercising the stewardship according to His economy, so that all the members can really enjoy this grace. So I will stop here and open this time to all the saints. Maybe all this, we can start from 3 minutes each, and then we can adjust by the time. Amen.
Concerning you based upon the grace of God which was given to you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I appreciate you. It doesn't say based upon how good you were this past week, or based upon how much time you spent in reading the Bible. Actually, it's based upon the grace of God which was given to us in Christ Jesus. And just so touched that today it says we have received grace as our base, and today we are standing upon grace, not upon our attributes, virtues, or excellencies. Therefore, we are qualified. Each one of us is qualified to receive more grace, even grace upon grace.
Amen.
And I just, you know, last week I think I shared, I had a lot of failures this week. Still, so many failures, but we can say we have all received grace.
Amen.
And grace is our standing today to receive more grace, even grace upon grace.
Amen.
And then I appreciated in day four that this grace, when it comes into us, actually, it manifests itself in a certain way. And that's the element of certain spiritual skills, abilities, which accompanying our growth in life develop into the gifts in life, so that we may function in the body of Christ to serve God. And I was just touched, I think it was from last week, the two verses, not I but Christ, and not I but the grace. And I think, you know, as we, I don't know, I think we all have responsibilities, and I'm learning to say, not I, but the grace.
Amen.
And so, as we enjoy grace, and even more grace, and actually, then there's a way for us to serve. And I appreciate it in Romans chapter 12. It lists out, you know, these gifts of the grace in life, which is prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and showing mercy. And this morning, one of my kids was just super whiny and super clingy, and I said something I shouldn't have said it, you know, and I was not showing mercy to my child, and that's because I did not enjoy enough grace this morning, but anyways, I repent, take the blood, and I just appreciate, actually, when we enjoy grace, it's not just for us to live a good life, actually, it's for us to function as members, one of another, as members in the body of Christ, and so the practice of the body life actually comes from us learning to enjoy grace day by day, calling on the Lord. And then there's the issue, which is, you know, all of these different gifts, but it's of the grace of life.
Amen.
Shrink back thinking like, oh, I'm so nothing that therefore I don't have to do anything. And so I really appreciate in Roman numeral 4 and the speaking of the stewardship. So I believe in the Roman times, there was a need to have a steward for the large household to make sure that each one had food at the appropriate time.
Yes.
In the same way, we have been called for this same aspect, that we need to apportion measure of grace to each one in the body. And so on point 3 under B, Paul's ministry was to dispense the riches of Christ as grace to the believers for their enjoyment. Like, solid. Great job, Paul. But the economy of God is with God himself. But the stewardship of grace was given not merely to Paul as one person. This stewardship has been given to all the believers. The stewardship of grace is universal. For the body of Christ, all the saints have a stewardship of grace according to God's economy. And just a very good reminder, because I think it's easy for me to fall into, oh, of course Paul would be able to do this, or of course XYZ saint, because whatever, whatever. But the Lord has called us, and then the stewardship of grace is given to each one of us, so that Amen. We can minister the riches of Christ to one another.
Amen.
I haven't been following through the morning revival because I had been traveling, just arrived at Piscataway. But right before I came back to Piscataway, I actually joined the Midwest college training. And so that's talking about just as in the days of Noah. And so the first message is the introduction, as in the days of Noah. And so there's the wonderful verse that's in contrast to the horrible black background of that situation.
Yes.
Like, anyways, like, violence, all this stuff, idolatry, no one cared about what was on God's heart, but I think it was verse 8, but Noah, the recovery version says found favor in the eyes of Jehovah, but that can also be translated found grace in the eyes of Jehovah. And so, the brother was speaking that you could read this verse in two ways. First, you could say, Noah found favor in Jehovah's eyes because he was a righteous man. He lived the type of living that was an anti-testimony to the situation at that time. But you could also say that the only reason he could live such a life was because he found grace in the eyes of Jehovah. Meaning that he had constant fellowship. He walked with God all the time. So because he had that, he was able to enjoy grace all the time. And just very quickly, I'm trying to relate this to this week's morning revival portion, but the brother, he related this to Hebrews 4:16, where it says we come to the throne of grace to receive mercy. Mercy is freely given, but grace is not always. Grace is given to us, but we need to find it. That's what it says in Hebrews 4:16 and in Genesis 6:8. He found grace in the eyes of Jehovah. We receive mercy, but he's not going to just spoon feed us grace, and I guess. But the brother gave this really wonderful example where he said, how desperate are we to find grace when we come? He even said, if I lost my phone or my keys, I would be like flipping over like all the stuff in my house. Like, I'd be so desperate to go around to find it. And then he said, You would not focus on anything else. But I need to find my phone. I need it so bad. I need my keys or else I can't go anywhere. But then the brother said, how is that our attitude when it comes to grace? Maybe every morning. Am I so desperate to find grace in the eyes of Jehovah? Do I realize that if I don't find grace, I can't make it. I can't live a normal Christian life throughout the day. And I remember being, it's so simple, but it's like, that had a wonderful change in my concept. It's not like, oh yeah, I can maybe go through the day. Grace is optional, as if it's something that I can go without. But to realize that I need grace if I want to live such a life, even in the context of God's economy, even to walk with God and to cooperate with Him, just as in the days of Noah. Because in the days of Noah, the ark that he was building typifies the church today. So if we want to be those who can walk with God and work with God, grace is not an option. Grace is a necessity. So that's why we need to have such an attitude that every time, every morning, every time I get up, I'm speaking to myself. I cannot go a single moment without enjoying grace. So may we be those who we can freely come to the throne of grace to receive mercy. But if we're not desperate, we're not going to find grace. So may we be those like Noah who receive mercy and find grace at the throne of grace.
Amen.
Saints. You know, I was thinking about this week, about the stewardship and how this all works. And I was kind of thinking about a relay race. You know, a normal relay race, you have someone that has a baton. And they're running the race, they hand off the baton, that person stops, and the next person that has a baton that you press it onto keeps running the race until you come to the end. And I kind of look at this as a stewardship. The stewardship is you're holding that baton. That baton is a grace. But we're not actually running a relay race. It's kind of a modified relay race where we have the grace, the baton, that we're running. We're running this race. And we pass on the baton of grace, to another. But we don't stop there. We continue running with them. And, you know, this baton, this relay race started with Paul. He passed on a baton. And we all, even when you pass on that baton of grace, you still have that grace in you. So, you know, you create a body. We're all running this race, and we all are just enjoying the grace of God and His riches. And, you know, the race ends at the consummation of New Jerusalem.
Amen. Amen.
Earlier, sister say she had failure, right? Say something he shouldn't have said. Actually, you know, when we're reading this message the whole week, and day one, we see what is the, you know, what kind of living we should have under the grace. It's a total living, entire living. Of living the process triune God to be grace to us. So our whole living, just like Jerry said, 24 hours, right? Yeah. 7 days, total living. We need to be one with this process triune God. In that aspect, I see myself. I'm totally failed, right? Maybe I can only count, oh, there's some minutes. I didn't fail. I received the grace. But I think we really need Roman numeral 2. Without Roman numeral 2, we just regret. We just say we are not qualified. But we have this God really qualifies. No matter what situation we are in, we are spirituality, we can always come to the throne of grace. And but one thing I also very touch is there is a consummation or an issue of such kind of living. That is the organic body of Christ. But where is this organic body of Christ? In a sense, it is visible and invisible, right? We say we are the body of Christ.
Amen.
But are we the organic body of Christ? Are we the total of us is the organic body of Christ? No, this organic body of Christ is the reality of the body of Christ. That organic body of Christ comes from our living. And so this living could be individually when we are at home, right? So because just maybe 10% of time we come together with saints, but 90% we probably at home. And when we are at home, whether we have this reality to take the grace as our living, is that it really matter whether we are in the reality or whether we are building this organic body of Christ. So I just feel today this really a very high kind of vision, you know, the Lord revealed to us. But it really we don't need to condemn ourselves, but we need to just run together with one another, remind with one another. Every day, moment by moment, we, as long as we remember, we turn to our mingled spirit.
Amen.
To build this organic body of Christ.
Amen.
And when we come together, we have an opportunity to come together. We shepherd one another. If we don't, in our personal living, as a personal time, we don't spend time with the Lord, receive Him as grace. Actually, when we come together, we are not to be able to shepherd one another. I think most of us, we can testify. When you receive the burden to shepherd some other saints, isn't that the time? Maybe in the morning, you spend time with the Lord touch you. Right, he reminds you, oh, maybe this brother or this sister, and that time actually we are in this reality of organic body of Christ.
Amen.
And the more we spend time this way, the more we are able to shepherd one another, to dispense, become the shepherd, the stewards of the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen.
I was so happy during this week, because the last week I tried to share about the economy and the stewardship, what's the difference. But because I talked too long, so the sister stopped me 2 times. But this week I can get back. I'm back. Hallelujah. Continue. Last week I didn't share. Talk about oikonomia. Amen. Amen. The oikonomia, the Greek word, come to the Bible, New Testament, 9 times, but the 6th time we translate, you carry a version, translated to the 6th time, talk about the stewardship, but the 3 times, talk about the economy. It's the same word, but if you speak in Greek, that is the same thing, see? So you can talk about stewardship is how the economy, you can talk the economy to stewardship, it's the same word. Why did we have a translate different? Wow. The key word is experience. Amen. When we talk of the high peak truth, that you can translate economy. Amen. Paul talked 3 times two times in the Ephesians, but one time in the Paul talked to the Timothy, the first Timothy, the verse 4-5, talk about the economy. Whole Bible only three times, but the three times is very key word in the whole Bible. That says God's desire. What talk to you? You see, the six times talk of stewardship. The first one I mentioned, Ephesians chapter 3. That's a hard book, really talk. Indeed, you have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God. That relate to the grace, okay? Relate to the grace. The grace of God. The next one, the very serious. Which was given to me for you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a key point. Given to me. That the stewardship, oh, we have a conference. Everybody was crazy. Everybody was memorized. And they shout. I don't know if you are in that meeting. They say, which was given to me for you, brother. Is that the only high picture stock of an economy? That's a really practical experience. All this high picture given to me, but for you. Relate to brother and sister. That's a stewardship. We know that in the Bible, the truth, they have an objective way and a subjective experience way. Paul, he's also writing, not only talk about the doctrine, talk about the high peak, choose the economy, make everybody confused. He talks about very practical stewardship. This happened recently. One of the brother is sick, but not of a sister. We have a stewardship, just like a fryer attendant. We watch what he needs, food, ready food he needs. Everybody's schedule. Oh, I saw Esther. Everybody's schedule. Everybody's just doing the stewardship. Try to dispense it. My special portion food to that brother. He needs that brother. The stewardship, just very practical. You know? Amen?
Amen.
For which I become a minister according to the gift of the grace. And it was given to me. Oh, Paul mentioned again. That's verse 7, chapter 3. And according to the operation of his power. In this chapter 3, talks three times. Talk about the grace. So the grace and the economy and the stewardship, they have a very strong relationship that's working among us. And verse 8. This grace given to announce to the Gentile. Okay, verse 9. And so to enlighten all the time they may see that economy of the mystery is. So only one time, verse 9, talk about the economy. You know, the talk about economy, we will remember. Economy, first mentioned to us is chapter 1, verse 10. You still remember? Last week we talked about economy. One time it's talked about chapter 1. No, you still remember. He said, unto the economy of the fullness of the times, the head of all things in Christ. You remember the times? In that footnote, brotherly mention, we have talk economy. You also talk about the time, talk about age. In that footnote, he mentioned to us that the four age. One, the first one, the age of the sin, talk of representing with Adam. And the second one, the age of the Lord, talk about Moses. And the age of the grace. Now we are in the age of age. Talk about Christ. And the future is the age of the kingdom, manual kingdom. In a King James, to translate dispensation, talk about different times. But in God's economy, we talk about every time. We just God wants dispensing Himself into us. Hallelujah! We not only have the high peak truth economy, we have the very practical exercise stewardship. Amen.
Amen.
So we continue week 3 with grace, right? This whole conference is about grace, different aspects, and here about the experience of grace. So Jerry brought forth that Noah found grace. You know, in the eyes of God, Noah found grace because God needed him to do something. And the situation was very dark, so he needed grace. So what is this grace? This grace is the enjoyment of God. Is the if we are not enjoying Christ, we are not enjoying grace. So grace it seems like something abstract. You know, here in Ephesians, he says, but in 4:7, he says, but to each one of us was given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. You know, here we see that the measure of the gift of Christ refers to the size of the member of Christ's body. And so we can look at the members of our body, you know, the ear, the mouth, the eyes, right? Each one has a portion. It has a measure. So you say, oh, so my ear, you know, my little finger, well, I need my little finger to scratch my ear. You know, my eye can't do it. My mouth can't do it. So every member has a function, right? We see that, you know, this week, you know, I just failed. I failed so much. And the brother speaks about, oh, can you receive grace from other members? Absolutely. This week, I received lots of grace. I received lots of grace from all the members of the body, bringing us food. Bringing us physical food is bringing us a lot of grace. Even our brother Joe, oh, what grace, you know. Our brother Joe ministered grace to me, you know, this whole week, you know, in many, many portions, in many ways. You know, so we see that whatever any member brings, if that portion of that brother or sister causes you to enjoy the Lord more, that is grace. You know, anything, whatever it is. So this morning, I say to the Lord, Lord, you know, I'm empty. I don't feel anything. I don't have any grace. And I don't want to read the morning revival because I just couldn't really get into it. So this morning, the Lord took me to Romans 8. Actually starting from 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, and I really, really enjoy this chapter, which is so popular, you know, but I really enjoy the verses, you know, that I consider that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared to the coming glory of the sons of God, right? And immediately he begins to talk about the whole earth is waiting in travail, the redemption of the sons of God, right? So I really so much enjoy this matter that without grace we can't live day to day. Without grace, if we don't enjoy the Lord, our life is empty and it's not even worth living. You know, and everything becomes very dark. But the Lord has supplied the members, every member. Oh, so many members. Sister Beatrice, oh, so many members that have come, you know, to visit with us this week. And Sister Ping, Brother Kyle, all the saints, all the, you know, the saints. Even Brother Paul, you know, that we, you know, the saints. This is grace. This is grace that we can see the love of God in every one of the saints. What for the building of the body. Right? For the building of the body. And so I really enjoy, enter into a different dimension of grace that I had never experienced before. So may the Lord take us on to more and more experiences.
Amen. Following Sister, we need to enjoy all the riches of Christ, which is grace, right? But in order to really enjoy this Christ, we first need to love Him to the uttermost, out of a pure heart. But it happened to be we have a problem in our heart. Our heart is very deceiving, but we have our conscience in our heart. Right? And if we have things in our heart that bother us, with a neighbor, friend, somebody. We have even double standards. One we love more than one more of the others. But we have problems in the church. We have problems with our wife, with our families. Then we can't love the Lord out of a pure heart, the uttermost, because that's what we need to do first. Clean everything that is in our conscience. See, my son loves the Lord. My son knows the Lord, but he has a problem. He has many things in his conscience. So you need to clean your conscience. Only the Lord can. Only the Lord can. You know? And then you can be able to love and enjoy. You know? So we need to really enjoy this grace. We need to clean our heart. But we cannot do it. It has to be only the Lord. Because we have a lot of things in our conscience. Where we one feel wrong, then we have the other feel in the spirit. So we need to lead and clean our heart. Say, Lord, I repent. I repent every day. I ask Him for forgiveness every day. So only Him can do that. Can do that. But we need to pray. We need, like Sister said, this grace also can be, let me preach to others in many different ways. Pray for the sick one, go and visit the sick one, bring them this, bring them that. We went to see Brother Ed in New York yesterday. I mean, we found out a lot of things when we went to see him in New York. And Brother Ed's house. And Brother Ed was actually the most happy one. You know, he has, and that's why I was asking to pray for him, because he has cancer and metastasis. But you see, he's more happy than everybody else, enjoying. And he got so happy when he could see us. And you know, this is great, bringing grace, and he gave us grace. I mean, when I saw him, you know, I was so excited. You know, it's, we need to go and bring the sick there, you know, visit the sick ones. Bring something, you know, bring this grace to them. And when we get there, they apply grace to us. You know, we're so happy to enjoy them. You know, so saints, we need to clear our conscience, you know, all this garbage that we have.
Yeah,
it could be only, not only, it could be something that we don't like. I don't like this person. We don't like my neighbor. We don't like this. We need to clear all of that. When our conscience is clear, then we can love the Lord to the uttermost out of a pure heart.
Amen.
His name is Brother Ed Wright. Keep it on your prayer. He's praying for all the young people. Love the young people.
Amen. One thing I always enjoy is what the Lord did in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. You know, He rescued them, and eventually He had this goal to bring them into the good land, right? And from there, they would build up God's kingdom, right? The temple. Where God could have His expression. In Acts 7, I believe it's Stephen, he mentioned how the children of Israel were called the assembly in the wilderness. And we know that the church is the called out assembly. So we can say that what we see in the Old Testament there is actually a picture of us. Well, that in the Old Testament is a picture, and in us, we're the reality of that picture. And so the children of Israel, they entered into the land, and they feasted on the land. That shows us that we need to enjoy Christ who is this all-inclusive land, so that the Lord could gain His goal, which is the building up of the body. I appreciated from this week the hymn in the back, 820. It says, the riches of Christ are typified by Canaan's produce, rich and sweet, with which the temple great was built, the church's greatest type replete. So praise the Lord for the Bible. And this message specifically, what we're seeing is God wants to dispense. He wants to dispense Himself into us. So that means we need to enjoy Him. when we receive God, that enjoyment is actually grace. Grace is God dispensed into us for our enjoyment. And then ultimately, the goal is that when we experience this grace, it would lead to the building up of the body of Christ. And so the believer's experience of the grace of God and the economy of God, it consummates in the church as the body of Christ.
Amen.
With Paul, right? He said that this grace was given to him, right? But it was for you. And so, on God's side, it's his economy. I appreciate Brother Joe's sharing, right? It's his economy, but then on our side, it's a stewardship. And Paul shared that, you know, it was given to him, but he was the least of all saints. That means that we also, we're qualified. I appreciate that. Saints, we're qualified to receive grace, right? And then, not only there, receiving grace, we enjoy that grace. And we experience that grace. This experience could be every day. Day by day, moment by moment, we can receive grace upon grace.
Amen.
This allows us to have the total living, right? And it doesn't stop there. This grace that we have enjoyed of the Lord, His unsearchable riches, it can be ministered to others. Right? And when this happens, the body is being built up. So praise the Lord for what He's doing in us. And what Paul said, what he saw was that we all need to enter into this.
Amen.
And when we experience the grace of God in this way, God is happy. He is able to gain what's on His heart, which is the building up of the body of Christ. He has a people as His actual body, His living and His expression. And so I'll end off with this. In Ephesians 4, after seeing this high peak of the body of Christ, right? Paul says, "Let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth."
Yes.
Right? Let no corrupt word. Really, this matter of our speaking is important. Speaking is probably something we do most, right? If you're quiet and you don't say anything, I mean, I don't know how enjoyable your life is. But something that we do the most is speak. We speak to one another. We speak, but how is our speaking? How is your speaking? What do you minister? You have a ministry. What do we minister? And so our speaking matters a lot. We can speak death. We can tear down, or we can build up. So in my experience, I realized if I don't enjoy grace, you know, everyone around me will have a hard time. You know, I just become the most rude person. You know, anything, whatever is in me, it'll just come out and tear others down. And this was my experience this past week. So I had to just turn to the Lord and really be silent. And the Lord helped me to see that what I was short of was just grace.
Amen.
If I have grace, then I'm able to not speak the corrupt word, the meaningless word, the words that when we speak them, it accomplishes nothing. So may the Lord really be our grace so that we can have this living for the body of Christ, speaking to one another, not only in the meetings, but in our daily lives for the building up of His body.
Amen.
I personally think that this week's message is very hard to share. I actually had several fellowship with Kyle and also this morning with Megan. All I asked was, you know, what is grace? And then this morning, I accidentally found that Brother Lee had a message in the Crystal Study of Romans. There are six messages, talking about grace.
Yes.
And I was like, you know, I still remember when I was saved in 1992, so it's been 30 years. The verse that caught me was 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says that my grace is sufficient for you. So I was like so touched because, you know, I praise the Lord. The Lord saved my marriage. But then 30 years later today, when I think about grace, I think I'm more and more confused because, you know, to some extent, I don't need the Lord to save my so-called marriage because Kyle is here and Megan is here, you know. Outwardly, we look fine, right? But then I think that in the message, even our brother, he said that actually the definition of grace, there are many, many aspects. And actually, you know, like at the end of the Bible, it talks about grace, right? So when we look at everyone, every single person in the Bible, we see that everyone experienced different aspects of grace. However, I think that, you know, the goal is the same and the focus is the same. Just like brothers and sisters share, the goal and the focus is the Lord. So if we experience His grace, no matter outwardly or inwardly, if we don't grow Christ in us, then it is still in vain. So we may get so-called grace outwardly, you know, like event by event or circumstances by circumstances, but then there's no grace in us. And I just pray to the Lord to gain me more, not just objectively, but also, you know, subjectively. Just like Jerry said, I think that's really true, that we really need to come to the Lord and fellowship with Him. And then eventually we will find that, for myself, you know, in the past 30 years, if we think about grace or if I think about grace, I think it's really true and it's real that I was in the church life in the past 30 years. So when we think about the grace, it's basically that not just individually, but also corporately, that we experience this Christ together, and then we grow in Him together.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that we already have grace, we have received grace from God, and with that as our base, we are qualified to receive even more grace, even grace upon grace from all the saints. I think grace becomes really real to me when I lack of grace. Sometimes there are moments in life that are not so pleasant. Maybe I got sick, or people get sick, you get disappointed with one another, you get offended by people. There are just things that are not so pleasant. But it is during those times when we realize that, oh, the thing that we really lack of is grace. We just need more of God Himself as the grace extends to us, that we can get through all, we have all these waves of grace that can get us through the storms in life. I think, like, I have also a lot of failures in the past week or two because I was kind of sick from COVID, and I remember there was a time I brought my Bible from my living room back to my room, and I feel like I should read some Bible. And then by the time I got my Bible to my bed, I just felt so fatigued. I felt so, so tired that I slept. And I just felt like, wow, it's so much failure. I can't do this. And I got disappointed with myself. But what I realized is, like, but we can still find grace. We are qualified to receive more. And sometimes the grace comes from this thing. Comes from people when they maybe just even send me a message, a text message, or even when I went to the Friday home meeting. Well, I already tested negative, but I went to the home meeting and sang the hymns with the saints and hear all these, like, joyful chats and talk about our daily living. It really just brought me back to the enjoyment of Christ. When I'm lack of grace, I can still find grace within the saints. And I'm just touched that, like, you know, grace is given to the church of God. It is given to all of us, not individually, but as the body, as the church of God. So to the church of God, which is in Piscataway, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. I thank God for the grace He's shown and given to every one of us and given to you guys to the end that you've shared with me. It's been a blessing. And the grace of God in the economy of God. So this is an economy, and this is like a living economy. God is trying to make something living with His economy. There's all these words that I noticed, like, this week. Like, in the economy, there's a supply, there's an increase, there's richness, there's multiplication, right? And all this is so that God can make us into a living church. And there's materials that He's using, too. And all of this is supplied by Jesus. Just as He's the living stone, and we're living stones, too, being built into the living temple, so too does His economy work in a living manner. So He's using the economy that we've defined on earth, and He's teaching us something spiritual. What is this supply? In economics, we learn there's a supply and a demand curve. But then in His economy, the supply is an infinite supply. He's infinitely and abundantly supplying us with the Spirit. Amen. Whenever we turn to it, when we demand it, whenever we find the need to demand it, then He supplies us richly. And then this richness He gives to us. And then every day we're continuing to build upon it abundantly.
Amen.
And this is to build something living, I said. And that's where the grace comes in. So the grace of God is the resurrected Christ. Like when He resurrects, He can bring us the triune God. He can bring us the life-giving Spirit, the all-inclusive Spirit that includes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's life in us so that we can live day by day, right? And how does He create life? Well, this is total living. So because I'm in medicine, I'm going to teach you some, like, medicine. Because we're here. Everything we have, we give to one another, whether it's our gifts, whether it's whatever God has shown us. Music, we do for the church. Or whatever I learn, I'm going to share with you guys, too. Because we're building an organic body, like, made of carbons and hydrogens, right? So how did God make the first body? How did He make the first living person? Adam, right? He breathed in him. From dust, He gave His Spirit. You could say He dispensed the Spirit into him. The life-giving Spirit. One that brings grace into Adam. And so how, too, is He going to build us into the new creation, into new people? He goes up, He resurrects, and brings the Spirit in Acts 2. And that creates the first new creation, the new God-men. And He's doing that with each one of us, but then He's doing that with the church, too. He doesn't just make one new person. He makes one new person in a group of people, too. Because we can't live by ourselves. Like, in biology, like, cell theory, or, like, I don't know what it's called, but life begets life. And then life can't exist by itself. You need to, like, if you're doing PhD and you're growing cells in media, you need media. And then you need to grow together. And then... And that's what we are too. We're the body.
Amen.
And grace, the Spirit, comes from the Greek word ruach, right? Breath or wind. So that's kind of our lungs. And then we have a heart too. What is a heart of God? So in this body, the heart of God is for the church. Because Jesus had a desire for a counterpart. He wanted a bride. And what is this bride? It's the church that's being built up. So that's the heart. And the lungs and the heart work together. It's like a cardiopulmonary process. So you got your heart, and that's God's desire to build the church. And then you got the lungs, and that's the breath in us, the grace in us. And they're working together in concert. And may we just enjoy more of that grace, that life-giving, breath-giving Spirit that continues to pump all the blood through our veins so that we can live. And it's a clean blood. Like, Jesus has cleaned this blood, and it's being transfused and dispensed into us. Thank you.
I have time for one more. One or two. Scott, if you want to go right after.
much that the grace, the genuine church is based upon the grace given to it in Christ Jesus, and the grace of God is not given to the church based upon the spirituality or the condition of the church. This was a month ago, so I don't remember that much, but during the college training where we talked about Noah finding grace or finding favor in the sight of the Lord, and I was touched by this verse, John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, grace in reality came through Jesus Christ. Obviously there's this law, and we need, the Lord needs ones who are righteous, but actually we can't just be righteous in ourselves. We need grace through the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be righteous. And I was really touched. I think the biggest takeaway that I got from the college training is that everything is dependent on grace. And actually, growing up, I never knew what grace meant. It just kind of is like this word that gets like tossed around. But I was touched that by this definition. Grace is the process and consummated triune God coming to us in our daily living. I was just really touched that actually grace is a person. And so, like Jerry was saying, like every day we need to come and find grace.
Amen.
And really this just means that we need to come to the Lord, and we need more of grace, or more of the Lord to be added into us. When we have more of the Lord, more of this grace added into us, that's when can really be built up together. That's when, we can like meet the Lord's need. I was just touched that the more that we enjoy, the more we're really doing the Lord's work. It's not anything from ourselves, but it's really just the Lord himself.
Amen.
So I went to the Midwest College training, and I also really enjoyed the definition of grace, which is Christ enjoyed by us. And I also really like that the brother shared that, like, if we are weak, there's an opportunity for grace. But if we are strong, we actually miss out on grace. And I feel like the words miss out and strong are never really, like, associated with each other. So I was just very impressed. Like, the brother also said that God, in his wisdom, he placed flesh there for us to realize that we actually need grace.
Amen.
And I really enjoyed this verse, Romans 5:20. The first part of it says, and the law entered in alongside that the offense might abound. And looking at the first half, it's like, it's so sad, like offense abounding. Like abounding is such an extreme word. But the second part I really enjoyed. It says, but where sin abounded, grace has superabounded.
Amen.
And I really like this word, superabounded. Like, there's something that even exceeds abound. And grace actually makes up the lack that sin creates, and it even exceeds that.
Amen.
So, we need to find grace.
Amen.
For the believer's experience. I think we heard a lot of experiences this morning. Really, I think through your words, it give grace, right, to all of us who are hearing. I think in conclusion, I just want to bring up the two verses that were used in this week's portion. That's Ephesians 3:9 and then in Ephesians 3:2. And I hope to connect these two things together so that this could become clear to us. In Ephesians 3:9, Paul says, to enlighten all, that they may see what the economy of the mystery is. Right. So there again, the word economy was used. And then this also the other word, to see, that they may see. So for God's economy, actually we need to see. We need to have a vision, right, that God, and I think we got into so much of the triune God and his dispensing, right, as the Father predestinating, choosing,
the Son's redemption, the Spirit who's sealing and now given to us as a pledge. All of that, right, is God's economy. And He wants to what? He wants to build up the body, right? So we need to see this, right? We need to see this. And I would also add, actually, we need to see God's economy in every aspect of our human living, right? We need to see God's economy in the difficulties, right? In the sufferings, right? How come I have this boss? How come I have this roommate, right? How come the person I'm driving behind is so slow, right? All of this, right? We need to see what? God's economy. My wife and I, we have a running joke. The Lord blessed us, right, with three boys. What would it be like if we had three girls? Or even just one girl? But you know what? That's God's economy, right? Many opportunities for us to enjoy the grace of God, right? And so this is something we really need to see, okay? Now, in Ephesians 3:2, Paul actually uses two different words, right? Instead of economy, he uses stewardship, right? And so there, actually, we need to realize that with God, right, God's economy is infinite. But with stewardship, it is finite, right? With God, it's His economy. But with Paul, with man, it's what? It's stewardship. And so these two things are connected. In other words, God has entrusted His economy to us as stewards. Oh, if we see this, we realize, oh, I have such a responsibility, right? In other words, if I don't enjoy the grace of God in His economy, I can frustrate Him, right? But if I can cooperate, right, by turning to Him, by enjoying Him, actually, His economy can be carried out. So that's the first point I want to make. Now, with the stewardship, it's very interesting. Paul uses the word heard. If indeed you have heard. And then I looked up the Greek. Actually, this word heard has the root of the English word acoustics, right? Which is the same Greek word that was used in Romans 14:17. Right, that faith comes from hearing, right? And so what this means is, you know, this stewardship that comes to us through hearing, actually, it's a hearing that produces faith. So when we come to the, especially to the Lord, to the Word, we spend some time with Him, we hear Him, we listen to Him, something of faith gets generated into us, right? That's Romans 14. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, right? Sorry, 10:17, right? And so day by day, right, for us to actually exercise our stewardship, we need to what? Come to the Lord, right? Especially through the word, to listen, right? And actually, I think from this past training, we just appreciate and enjoy so much, right? The gentle, quiet voice, right? Day by day, every morning, oh, we just present ourselves to the Lord to listen to Him. Oh, something of what? The little faith gets generated into us. And then it's through that faith that gets generated into us, then when we speak, right, when we live, when we serve, actually, something of Christ can be ministered into others, right? So with God's economy, it's by vision, it's by sight. But with the stewardship of the grace of God, actually, it's through our listening. And the saints brought up, it's to me, for you. And then I just want to end in this way. You know, when this matter of the steward is brought up in Matthew, actually, the Lord had one particular, you could say, adjective, right, or characteristic attached, right, to this matter of steward. And this is actually the matter of being faithful, right? And so in Matthew 24, the Lord asks this question, who then will be the faithful and prudent slave? right? That what? That will give them food, right, at the proper or appointed time, right? And so again, this matter of being stewards, I hope after all the sharing this morning, we all have this aspiration. I'm a steward, right? I'm just a little member in the body, but guess what? If Paul is the less of the least, that means we're a little bit above Paul, right? And so that means if Paul is a steward, then we can also be a steward, right? But for us to be a steward, the most excellent virtue or characteristic is what? Is faithfulness. So there we see in Matthew, it has nothing to do with the amount, right, of talent that you've been given. But actually, the Lord rewards, right, the faithfulness, right, of the slave. And so, in the same way, brothers and sisters, we don't need to compare ourselves to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Oh, they have a more of a measure of faith than I do. I'm just so weak. Actually, I think we all feel the same, right? But what we really need to do is just to exercise, again, our spirit of faith. We've all been given a little power, right? And grace actually is given, right? Not by measure. And so what this means is sometimes in the morning, and I felt the same way. I think all of us, we had a rough week this week. Sometimes I'm just so weak. Right? Lord Jesus, I just feel like I can't go on. Right? But there, you know, grace comes to us in a gentle way. In just a little way. Right? Just whatever we need for that day. Really, this is God's economy. He just wants us to realize that we need Him day by day. Moment by moment, right? And so if we are faithful just to present ourselves to the Lord, to enjoy Him as this grace, actually His economy, right, can be carried out through us. And so that when we are in the church life, in our family life, with one another, grace can be ministered, right, to others. And this is really for the building up of the body. Anyways, hallelujah for another week that we could be under this dispensing of grace. And again, this grace is not just to me, but it needs to start, right? First to me, but we realize actually all of our experiences of grace is for you, right? It's for the members. It's for the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We have obtained access.
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
Into this grace.
Amen.
In which we stand and boast.
Amen.
Because of the hope of the glory of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, thank you for revealing your economy to us. We are those who have seen this economy.
Amen.
We continue to hear your word.
Amen.
We are faithful stewards.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, give our daily living to you.
Amen.
Every morning we'll come to you.
Amen.
To receive grace.
Amen.
So dispense this grace to one another.
Amen.
You have your body.
Amen. Lord,
although we are weak, but you have put us such a base for us.
Amen.
We can receive grace upon grace.
Amen.
In this coming week to you.
Amen.
Grace us more.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your speaking.
Amen.
We give it this week to you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you give us grace every day.
Amen.
Forgive us for having a short grace.
Amen.
We give you every day, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you that you are with us every day,
Lord. Amen.
We come to you for more grace.
Amen.
Your grace is sufficient for us, Lord.
Amen.
We need you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for your love and mercy.
Amen.
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 Every opportunity.
Amen.
Find praise.
Amen.
Lord, we would know you more.
Amen.
Learn to
speak to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we thank you for everyone sharing today.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, do cause us to experience your limitless grace.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, to be one with you and to really transcend our natural concepts.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, do be one with us.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, just, Lord, help us to really seek refuge with you at all times.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we declare and pray that we are here. Amen. Oh, Lord, thank you that, Lord, can experience your grace.
Amen.
Praise you for this lifelong, continuous, day-by-day experience.
Amen.
Process that we can go through. Continue to gain us.
Amen.
Lord, we forget things which are behind.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we just all stretch forward to receive more of your grace.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for showing us your intention.
Amen.
Lord, we ask you to fulfill this word in us.
Amen.
Oh, we don't want to be members that are separate.
Amen.
Oh, we like to depend on one another.
Amen.
Thank you as a portion for each one.
Amen.
Lord, make us faithful to fulfill our stewardship.
Amen.
To fulfill our ministry.
Amen.
To serve you.
Amen.
To minister grace to one another.
Amen.
The building up of your body.
Amen. We trust in you.
Amen.
God is able.
Amen.
To abound in grace.
Amen.
Oh Lord, we give the week to you.
Amen.
Give us grace day by day.
Amen.
This grace is our solid base.
Amen.
It's a solid rock.
Amen.
It's not like sinking sand.
Amen.
We can stand on it.
Amen.
Seek the throne with boldness.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Lunch. Let's enjoy lunch.